Very good. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. This is myself being slightly late today. This is the Barden Report, and we're here today on this Saturday, the 20th, get the dates right, because I'm a day out of sync here. It's 5th, 7th here already. 26th of May, 2018. And the overwhelming news, I have to cover, I'll start off in the UK into Europe, and then we get to the United States of America. But the overwhelming news here that's going on is, of course, the referendum in Ireland. It's absolutely wall-to-wall coverage. And I'm going to correct what is some of the half-witted coverage. The BBC are covering it very well. They have. And like we're just across 60 miles across the ocean to Ireland, so it's very close territory. And I'm watching RT, that's Radio Television, a national broadcaster every day in the newspapers, as a general rule anyway, from there originally. I spent 41 years of my life there, and about 4 or 5 years in North America, and the rest in the UK here. But the situation is, and I just correct some of the absolute trashy journalists who don't know how to report anything. Ireland is repealing a constitutional ban on abortion, and the question on the referendum sheet was, do you wish to repeal Article 8 of the Constitution? Yes or no? And that was carried 2-1. Yes, 66-33, exactly. 2-1 it was carried. And there's a bill standing by whereby the government is legislating. People have read the bill and they're happy with it. A maximum of 12 weeks is allowed for an abortion under strict condition. It is not, repeat, not abortion on demand. It is if due to rape, incest, fetal abnormalities, number 3, and number 4, mental health of the mother, and it must have a good reason to do it. And a gynecologist and a doctor have to sign that off before it's agreed. So it's very restricted abortion. The world's press and CNN and these morons are saying, oh, Ireland votes for abortion. And there's no way like abortion in Britain, which is up to 24 weeks, which is obscene murder. It really is absolutely obscene. I think 12 weeks is too much as it is. But there was a major case, I have to cover this, in Ireland in 2012. An Indian woman and her doctor husband had terrible complications in a childbirth. And if she was 15 weeks gone or something like that, or fairly 2 or 3 months, she was ready to give birth at full term. But because of the law, the constitutional ban on divorce, which was inserted in 1983, who tricked the government into a referendum, basically. It was obviously illegal, but they put a constitutional ban in 1983, and that really screwed up medical activity. But any civilized country has to have legislative. You can constitutional this, that, and the other doesn't help doctors and people on the day. So this is about installing sensible, restricted, very restricted, abortion legislation, still very restrictive worldwide, the one in Ireland, on the National Health Service, etc., etc. So that is what it is about. And all the things are showing women, well, being relieved that that is the case. They're not celebrating abortion as such. I have to point that out. They're celebrating the fact that there's no the appalling restrictive constitutional ban on it, tied up doctors and put them under the threat of a manslaughter charge on anything to do with abortion, and therefore there was abortions in very serious cases of the mother's health, but they prioritised the mother, the health of the mother is priority number one. That's part of the new legislation, and people have read it, and it was enthusiastically covered, carried. So just to clarify, maybe hope I'm clarifying it reasonably well. That is what happened in Ireland today when they counted the votes. The vote was yesterday, Friday. They counted the votes today. And 39 of the 40 constituencies carried it by serious majority, some by 76%. Only one county, Donegal, 48-52. But that's for another reason. That's a Republican county, and they vote against the government at every possible time. So that's part of the shenanigans going on there. But that is to just clarify the worldwide news that's going on. Abortion referendum in Ireland, it is about sensible legislation and restricted abortion. That is what's going on. But I won't cover Brexit, because Brexit is in negotiations, are in kind of abeyance at the moment, but it all starts again next week, so we'll kick that out of the way. But just to keep abreast of what's going on, something I've been covering over the years, although the BBC tried to ignore it because they're taking their instructions from the European Union. They have bank loans from the European Central Bank, which is outrageous. But Peter O'Bourne is an outstanding journalist in the Daily Mail, a conservative writer. But he's saying, forget Brexit, Italy could trigger the collapse of the EU. And he's quite correct. I'm going to read his article here. It's quite a concise article. And the Italians voted in the Five Star Movement and another party. And they finally, that was 3 months ago, they finally come to an agreement about forming government, the 66th government since World War II. That's something else. Most countries have only had a 25 governments since then. But this is the 66th. Well, the Italians are now seriously hunkering down and trying to sort things out. They have a horrendous unemployment rate, and the euro has been a catastrophic disaster for them. It's too strong a currency for compared to what the lira was. And there's been no economic growth in Italy for 20 years. None. Zero. Everything. It's average it out. It's minus. It's slightly minus, below zero. And it's a shocking country. And the European Union treating it like Greece. Italy is 20 times bigger than Greece. But Peter O'Bourne is saying here, every day the road to Brexit seems to get bumpier. The mixed messages coming from Downing Street certainly don't help. The latest confusion was caused when on the one hand, the government chief whip, it doesn't matter who he is, Julian Smith, said he plans to bring the EU withdrawal bill back to the Commons. They're kicking this bill around from the Lords, I think, this week. However, on the other hand, Downing Street was briefing that the government may give hope to the Remainers by asking the EU for a second Brexit transition period. Well, that was all supposedly agreed, that Britain was finally out after a small transition period on the 31st December 2020. So the 1st of January 2021, we are out completely. But it depends what status we have, and that's the complication. And the Irish border issue between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland would mean Southern Ireland is still in the EU. Obviously, it's a sovereign country. They worship the EU in Southern Ireland. Unfortunately, my fellow countrymen, they're a disgrace as far as I'm concerned on that one. But Northern Ireland will not tolerate any weakening of Northern Ireland's position within the UK. So that's a big complication in the nations. Okay, I won't go. And he's saying here, Peter O'Bourne, no wonder so many of the 17.5 million who voted Leave are getting deeply frustrated. But while Brussels negotiators continue to stymie Brexit, European politicians are facing a much bigger threat to the European Union. And this is it, Italy. Well, there's three, actually. And if you count Catalonia, it's four. I refer to the events of the last few days in Italy, which will be Europe's third largest economy after Britain leaves the European Union. This week, a new government was formed, Italy's 66th since the end of the World War II. New Prime Minister is Giuseppe Conte. He's an academic, head of a ragbag coalition of anti-establishment five-star movement and the far-right league. Well, they're totally 100% anti-Europe, Brussels, a government there now. And they're threatening to get out of the euro. They agree on very little, but there is one policy which they are in harmony, a hatred of Brussels. Yeah, hooray. It is no exaggeration to say that Mr. Conte, a former law professor at Florence University, has the power to bring about the collapse of the EU. And we hope he has, because it doesn't need to exist. He came to power on a wave of burning national resentment over Italy's membership of the EU, which millions of Italians believe has been an unmitigated disaster for their country. Above all, there is the problem of immigration. Where do you hear these figures? That Italy has really had to put up with shocking hardship with flows of immigrants coming in. And they have 600 ships on the seas around Italy. Italy has, as you know, look on the map, has a massive coastline, east and west, and the southern islands. And they are deluged with immigration coming from Africa and different countries. But it says here, above all, there is the problem of immigration, which was a key issue in March's election. Brussels' freedom of movement rules are blamed for the record numbers of migrants in the country. At least 1 million, for example, have settled in Italy from Romania. 1 million Romanians. A fellow EU member, but huge numbers have made their homes in Italy after crossing the Mediterranean. Also people from North Africa. From Libya alone, the past 4 years, an estimated 600,000 migrants and refugees have reached Italy. Well, we saw all the rescue boats rescuing them, and the North Africans come on boats, they're ready to sink, and there are thousands and thousands of them have drowned in the Mediterranean. These people know that once on the Italian soil, they have very good chance of being able to begin a new life. Well, they claim asylum, but they're actually economic migrants, not refugees. Therefore, they should be sent back to begin a new life there, to exploit freedom of movement to live in any other country. Well, as I've said before many times, Viktor Orban in Hungary has put steel fences and military on the border, and they won't take any immigrants, none. And that's that. And they're a part of an alliance with four countries, which is Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, and Poland. And they have the same policy. So the EU is breaking up, basically. Italy's new government has pledged to deport up to 500,000 migrants to clear illegal gypsy settlements in towns, cities. That would be Romanian gypsies. And to recruit more police and build new prisons to deal with the problems. And just a footnote, in London, ask any of the police in central London on Oxford Street, the biggest shopping street in London. 90% of the pickpockets carry on is Romanian gypsy women and infant children who are the professional pickpockets in London. So keep your wallet in your zipped pocket inside your suit if you're walking up Oxford Street, because it won't be a violent attack. It'll be a silent attack where they bump into you with an infant in a shawl, and they bump into you purposely, and then probably another child lifts your wallet. But oh, very professionally, don't I tell you. They are experts at it. And numerous BBC undercover cameras seeing them do it. But anyway, just to finish out Peter O'Bourne's article, this hardline reaction to Brussels' soft approach to illegal immigrants in Italy amounts to a huge challenge to its authority and imperils the cohesion of the EU. Immigration is not the only issue over which Italy's new government is at war with Brussels. The country's once an economic success story, almost as remarkable as Germany's, has been brought to its knees by Brussels, well, membership of the Euro, and the immigration problem. This tragedy dates back to Italy's decision to join the Euro and its launch in 1999. Yeah. Years of hardship. It proved to be a calamitous error. With its own currency, the lira, the Italian government was able to manage its own affairs and devalue its currency if necessary to make itself competitive. However, the euro has imposed a financial straitjacket, which has led to the closure of thousands of businesses, billions of people out of work, and I refer to people. On YouTube, if you go to YouTube and just put in the search box, After Brexit, the Battle for Europe, and it deals heavily with what's going on in Italy by Cathy Adler. It's a one-hour documentary, and it's gripping stuff to watch. She made it there 2 years ago. After Brexit, the Battle for Europe. Go to that on the YouTube. Something they haven't pulled off their own site yet. Shockingly, Italy has not seen any cumulative economic growth since it signed up to the European single currency. The Italian people know that their membership of the EU is to blame for mass unemployment, social collapse, and uncontrolled migration. The new Italian PM, Conte, is the first political leader to generally represent the national mood of outrage and sorrow at their post-lira impoverishment. Italy's national debt is a staggering 132% of its gross national product, the second highest in the EU after Greece. To try and prevent the crisis of even bigger proportions, the European Central Bank lent Italy, this is a few years ago, 600 billion euro, which is about half a trillion pounds sterling, in order to stop it going bankrupt. Meanwhile, this new Prime Minister, Mr. Conte, is promising tax cuts and public spending increases to try and undo the damage to his country's economy. Well, if they're going to ask for the debt to be cancelled, a good deal of it to be cancelled, and that'll be a rip-roaring row with the IMF, the European Central Bank, and the World Bank, which have been blackmailing Italian politicians for 10 years now, well, certainly since 2008, to stay in the euro. As night follows day, through the Brussels bully boys, the same ones who have been trying to block Brexit, will threaten him with dire, as is threatened Conte, the new Prime Minister, with dire consequences unless he backs down. With He said, we witnessed a similar standoff when Greece's economy hit the rocks and had to be bailed out with billions of euros in loans from Brussels. The Greek people reacted to this national humiliation by voting for a vehemently anti-EU government 3 years ago. But they were then shabbily let down when their new Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, abjectly caved in to the strong-arm tactics of the European leaders. Yeah. As Mr. Conte is unlikely to yield in the same way. Coming down to the last quarter of this article, Italy is 10 times bigger than Greece. Unlike Greece, Italy is too big to fail. It is quite possible that Mr. Conte will threaten that Italy will pull out of the euro, a move that would still instill terror in Brussels and Frankfurt. Returning to the lira would be a desperate measure, but it would be economically sane thing to do. It would give the Italian economy a chance to be competitive again and end the stagnation and mass unemployment which has wrecked countless hundreds of thousands of lives over two decades. I mean, they really have suffered in Italy there with the EU. Leaving the euro would mean Italy would renege on its 600 billion euro loans from the European Central Bank. Without a doubt, the bank would collapse. Well, they're printing money like the Fed. And the Federal Reserve in America is pumping money into the EU illegally. We know that. The EU would go into financial and political meltdown. Not illegal in Europe, not legal in America, because the terms of reference, I keep reminding people of this, of the Federal Reserve, is it has the power and legally enacted power to loan any country, any corporation, anybody, any individual, you or me, money anywhere in the world that it decides it needs to loan money, and it can print the money. That's the rules of the Federal Reserve, and they are doing it's not owned by the American government, it's owned by the commercial banking system, and the federal government do not even have the power to audit it. So, Donald Trump, sort that out. Yeah. So the absolutely indivisible truth is that Italy is now a ticking time bomb, and I fear it is only a question of time before it explodes, with consequences for the continent which are impossible to predict. How ironic that the founders of the EU, its predecessors, the EEC, were driven in part by a desire to prevent a repeat of the terrible bloodshed in the two great world wars of the 20th century, but their hubris attempts at political and economic union was created division and hell. Anyway, that's the end of that article. We're coming up on the first break, and we should be back in 3 or 4 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Okay, and we're coming back in after the first break, and in this short section, I'll just continue on a little bit of the statistics we're talking about. Previously, the major event of the change in abortion laws in Ireland, and the horrendous happenings in Italy, but they're getting their fists up to fight in Italy now, the European Union, as I read out that piece from Peter O'Born, who's an outstanding journalist, in the Daily Mail. He left the Daily Telegraph because they were kowtowing to financial interests. And I was just having this discussion with somebody yesterday. I said, the London press is going the same way as the American press. And one of the most disgusting publications, proven time and time again, is it's Pink Pages, you know, very snobby upmarket paper, the London Financial Times, right? You can buy it at any newsstand anywhere in Britain. Like, Britain has 9 national newspapers, and any part of the UK, from Land's End to John O'Groats, you can buy the 9 newspapers every day. Never mind, go on their websites. But Financial Times is a vile, disgusting shill organization. They write to order, and they write basically to please the banks and the multinationals, and they're the greatest globalist newspaper on the planet. Remember Bob Chapman when he was alive on RBN? He was the best financial guy ever in the world, and he was on RBN for years. He died about 3 years ago. He fingered it as it and The Economist are absolutely vile propaganda. And it is, just to warn people, a disgusting crap paper. But anyway, there are a few other statistics here in this short run we're doing to the bottom of the hour. They're doing figures here in the Daily Mail. And it said, what were the top 20 non-British nationalities in the UK in 2017? And by God, it's changed. Poland. You know, I have a HGV license and I gave it up years ago because heavy goods vehicle, because the rates went to crap because the Polish drivers coming in here working for buttons. But Poland, over 1,021,000 Poles in Britain. Romania, 411,000 Romanians. The Irish, that's me, 350,000. That's a tiny amount. But the island of Ireland is 6.2 million people north. India, 346,000. I find that hard to believe, it's only 346 Indians. Italy, 297,000 Italians. Portugal, 235,000 living in the UK. Mostly in London, I would say, mostly. Lithuanians, find them hard to take, 199,000. Pakistanis, 188,000. Well, I think that figure is way underrated. Spain, 182,000. The relatively low figure for Spain and Italy, considering what's going on in their countries. But they're members of the European Union, therefore they can come straight in here anytime. Up to 2 years from hence from now. Germany, 154,000, number 11. China, 147,000. EU Yankees, United States, 133,000 Americans here. That's not a lot left, considering the world and its mother is trying to get into America. Latvia, 117,000. Nigeria, 100,000. Hungary, 98,000. Netherlands, 97,000. Australia, my God, number 87,000. That's an incredibly low figure, the Aussies. And Bulgaria, 86,000. And the final two, France has 181,000. And I dropped them off the list. And Bangladesh, 84,000. But that's just the changing face of the UK in so, so many ways. But again, open borders, immigration. And who was in charge of the Home Office in charge of immigration for 6 or 7 years? Theresa May. And the figures got out of control, absolutely out of control. And that woman has not ever delivered anything in politics, beginning, middle, and end. She has never delivered everything. She comes out, makes speeches, and then scurries off like a meerkat into the bunker. And at the moment, she's basically missing. But she has to come out of the bunker next week when there's a major EU meeting to decide a lot of things about Brexit. But they'd also keep an eye on this disastrous electronic grid matrix we're living in. And again, who's on top of the list this time? Bezos, the spy master. Amazon now powering facial recognition surveillance technology for the police. Not good of them. Jason Bailey is writing this article and is saying here that it's time for Americans to stop what they're doing, have a look around, and ask themselves the following question. Are we still living in the United States of America? Are we living in some science fiction novel where the government knows more about us than we would like? Anyway, we're coming to the bottom of the outbreak, and I'll continue this article.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, but I was reading this piece again in the grid we're in so many grids, 27, and I read out some of the pre-pieces of the book I'm doing at the moment, trying to get ready. We've been attacked on 27 areas of our life. It's more, but as regards main areas, it's about 27. But Bezos, the spy masters, Amazon now powering facial recognition surveillance technology for the police. And we've covered some of this before, but this is right up to date, the 27th today's article. Time for Americans to stop what they're doing, have a look around, and ask themselves the following question. Are we still living in the United States of America, or are we living in some kind of science fiction novel where the government knows more about us than we'd like them to know? At times, the difference between the two isn't immediately obvious. But Amazon, for example, which has recently decided to market a powerful face recognition tool called Recognition, R-E-K-O-G-N-I-T-I-O-N. They're marketing this to the police. This technology would help law enforcement identify and track individuals at their convenience, even if those individuals are not involved in crimes. As you probably can imagine, this has many constitutional and privacy advocates extremely concerned. Even though Recognition, Amazon Recognition, is marking it up here, officially launched in late 2016. It's still an unclear as to how many law enforcement agencies have actually purchased the tool and are using it on the job. Since then, Amazon, I haven't heard of this before. This is 2 years in action before it comes to public attention. Since then, Amazon has added specific features that allow recognition to identify individuals in videos and follow their movements almost instantaneously. Wait till they get facial recognition going. You won't be able to sign onto the internet until your facial recognition or your fingerprint comes up. That's what they're pushing for, including Zuckerberg. And Nigel Farage gave Zuckerberg a going over in the European Parliament this week. John Stoppmiller sent it to him, and he did cover it, although he didn't play back Zuckerberg's answer. But Farage was laid out very calmly and very coolly the misdemeanors of Facebook and Zuckerberg. Anyway, this article goes on to say, earlier this month, a number of privacy groups like the American Civil Liberties Union, back then, urged Amazon to stop selling this face recognition technology to government agencies, arguing that they could use recognition to easily build a system to automate the identification and tracking of anyone. These privacy advocates also noted that such technology could have an even harsher impact on minorities, illegal immigrants, for political protesters, which they claim are already arrested at disproportionate rates. And he goes on to say here, who's writing this article? The very beginning, it is Jason Bailey. People should be free to walk down the street without being watched by the government, the groups wrote on Tuesday in an official letter to Amazon. Facial recognition in American communities threatens the freedom, this freedom. And related, here is the list in all the ways which the federal government are spying you. That's a separate list. But how much privacy do we still have? Well, it goes without saying that our police and law enforcement agencies should be equipped with the tools they have. They need to do better serve our communities. There's a very fine line between technology that keeps us safe and technology that infringes upon our rights. As it stands right now, surveillance technology seems to be going to the extreme, and as a result, personal information is being collected without our permission. Well, that's the week that the European Union, we're being deluged with emails here, have brought in the new privacy law that nobody can contact you on the internet, commercial or otherwise, or spam, so without your permission. It's now a crime. Everybody I've signed up with, they're sending these crap re-registered emails. Everybody's getting them here in Britain and around Europe. But back in January, the Waking Times, an article, that's a publication, reported on new technology being developed by researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, capable of accurately reading a person's concealed emotions from a distance. That means that regardless of whether you feel happy or sad or angry, and regardless of how you feel, how well you are trying to conceal it, this new device will be able to see through even the best poker face and read you like. I said, yes, your smart TV is really spying on you and collecting your personal information. Told John Stoppmiller about a year ago when he got a Samsung TV. It's one of the worst for embedded spying devices. It's listening to you, recording you. According to the researchers, their device, which is officially called EQ Radio, is accurate 80. This is the new MIT system. EQ Radio is accurate 87% of the time at detecting individuals' emotions. And what else? What's even more frightening is that it does not even need to be directly linked to the person's pulse and body to operate. Well, that'll be target practice for the police. Rather, the EQ radio works by sending Wi-Fi signals that bounce off a person to read things like their heart rate and other relevant information that helps to determine how the person is feeling. For obvious reasons, unlike the recognition device of Amazon, there is a lot of potential for abuse through the use of EQ radio. It's a new piece of technology by MIT. Companies could set them up outside their shops, for example, in order to gather information and how customers feel both entering and exiting their store. If we have reached a point in our nation's history where even our emotions are no longer private, then we can really continue. Can we really continue calling ourselves a constitutional republic? I think that's gone a long time ago. But that's just one. You get a lot of these articles, but I had to read that one out. It's so outrageous. And it's actually here and available. But connected to this is researchers discover more than 3,300 Android apps, these cursed apps, some people use to track children improperly. David Williams is writing this article for Natural News, showing young people staring, young kids, really, 5 and 6 or 7, they look like, staring at apps and, tablets. It's outrageous. Parents who allow their children to spend any time of the day on that are just outrageous. It's abuse of children. They said, in the hands of someone who knows how to use them, smartphones can be some of the most versatile kinds of devices ever created. Indeed, with their many different built-in features, the options for added functionality through downloads and installing apps, smartphones can be used for a wide variety of uses. As with that said, they can be particularly dangerous in the hands of children. As a new study points out, a lot of smartphone apps have the ability to gather certain types of data about their uses, particularly children, and use them for suspicious, if not questionable, purposes. This is according to a new study entitled Won't Somebody Think of the Children? Examining COPPA Compliance at Scale. Well, that's a standard, I presume, which was recently published online in the Journal of Proceeding and in the Journal Proceeding on Privacy Exchange Technologies. Well, the main takeaway from the study is that more than 3,300 different smartphone apps are potentially violating a huge federal data privacy law, which is created to protect children from things like online tracking. Well, anybody who puts their children's photographs on Facebook has committed, as far as I can tell, a shocking crime, considering paedophiles spend most of their day trying to track children in situations. In light of all the most recent privacy and data breach scandals in the tech world, this is something that needs to be taken seriously. For some background, this COPPA standard, COPPA standards for the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, and it was first passed by the U.S. Congress in 1998. That was really the very beginning of this digital technology, before taking into effect in April 2000. It was created mainly to protect the privacy of children under the age of 13, and this new study calls into question some of its current stated protocols as well as its scope. The personal data of 31 million users was compromised by keyboard app developers who used an unsecured online database. Well, it's all blowing up now about this technology and the focus being Zuckerberg. According to Sergey Eggleman, the director of Usable Security and Privacy Research at the International Computer Science Institute, these are all those convoluted names, which has ties with the University of California and Berkeley, where else, and co-author of the study, many apps could be in loads of legal trouble right now. These problems are rampant, and it's resulting in kids being exposed to targeted advertising and automatic, well, brainwashing. And their very vulnerable minds and attitudes at that age is shocking. Well, John McAfee, who I have a high regard for, said there's no such thing as antivirus software. It's a joke. The technology has moved on. And apps are one of the worst things for getting into your computer and into your life and into your bank account. The study conducted by Eggleman and his research team covered a total of 5,800 of the most popular apps on the Android smartphone. That's a hell of a lot. Test all the apps they developed in an automated process that ticked certain checkboxes, and they applied this process to the apps which were available in the U.S. Well, McAfee has developed an app for checking apps, and he's also coming out with a smartphone that's unhackable. You know, that goes Google Play Store from November 2016 to 2018. So these apps were available from Google. Some of these things they found were quite troubling. Well, they should go after Disney, who are putting out the most obscene images enmeshed in children's cartoons. Go onto YouTube and put in Disney's obscene images to children, and you'll be quite shocked. There's a couple of organizations building a file against Disney. Just chuck them down. And I'm to know, as a multinational, they're one of the most aggressive out there of all multinationals. For instance, the research has found that 1,100 apps, or 90% of all the apps that were studied, 90%, shared sensitive information with third-party services, despite the fact that their terms of service disallowed them from being used in apps made for children. Meanwhile, 2,200 apps, or 39% of all apps, really seem to be in violation of Google's own terms of service with regards to sharing certain persistent identities. And on it goes. Clearly, a lot of work needs to be done to get this matter sorted out, the article is saying. But again, the technological grid is now the rushes to protect yourself or to disconnect from certain things that are absolutely entrapping you, like the American legal system. Saying to somebody on this network last week, it's 100% an entrapment system. The legal and criminal law, it doesn't have to be criminal law, a court system is basically an entrapment system. No doubt about it. But we have an article here about Texas. One Texan listening to me today again. But advocacy group urges Texas residents to sign health freedom petition to protect rights of patients and doctors. And J.D. Hayes is writing this article with a big map, Texas. And he's saying, in an age where state and federal governments increasingly feel the need to curb health freedoms, a Texas-based advocacy group is taking residents of the Lone Star State is asking residents of the Lone Star State to help push back. Okay, the organization is called Texas Right to Know. Is urging citizens to sign a petition demanding more transparency from the Texas Medical Board. I imagine the people who are on that are all tied into the farm industry. As a better way to better protect both patients and their doctors. Okay, well, best of luck with that. But it goes on to say here, I'll read a bit more of this article. And this group is saying, we asked for Texas Sunset Commission members to appoint the new issues previously adopted by Sunset Commission and the proposed new recommendations from the decision making material for the May 24th Sunset Commission hearing. Our hope is that these recommendations will result in much needed law changes in 2019, and they're just giving some of the points they're going to raise. The petition, which you can access, says, promote health freedom by improving Medical Practice Act. It's very bland. Improve access to new revolutionary treatment options that could save lives their patients want to try. Protect the constitutional rights of doctors and their patients. Yeah. Ensure that physicians receive fair due process rights. Provide more accountability for the oversight of Texas Medical Board. Well, it's going into this, so they're a bit vague, really. It's not as good an article as I thought it would be. But they want to find out, well, identify doctors who are, that's basically the entire medical profession, are absolutely under the hammer of the pharmaceutical industry, including the BMA, the AMA, and medical associations of these doctors. They have all got their placemen in there. Said last week and then other weeks, a local doctor here, Dr. Meischel, a very good woman, came up with a unique and successful treatment for ME. And she was struck off. She had to fight a battle 2 years to get on, and now she's one of the busiest doctors in Britain, helping solve people's problems with ME. Again, that's typical of what goes on. But anyway, getting back to this problem of the polluted seas, really shocking. They're covering it heavily here in Britain now. They've had a deluge of coverage, Daily Mail and the BBC, of these clusters of plastic clogging up. Some of them are 100 acres wide where they've clogged together, but right down in the deep sea basin of the oceans, these fish and wildlife are absorbing plastic. But so the Ocean Cleanup Revolutionary Machine, I'm interested to hear what this is about, which aims to collect some 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic trash, is ready to take its first voyage. Check out the phone number for the Barden Report, if the phone-in number, if you have something to add to this, it's 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. But and Edsel Cook is writing this article. I'm saying here in Alameda, California, workers on the non-profit for the non-profit group, the Ocean Cleanup, are assembling. I hear music there. Yeah, the components of a massive machine that will collect plastic trash from the ocean. Okay, we'll go to the break, and then I'll start this article after the break. Okay.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Few minutes of this first hour. Casting. We're touching on articles here about this shocking pollution of the seas. And there's one, somebody's claiming here, I find it a bit rich, we'll see how true it is, but the Ocean Cleanup Revolutionary Machine, which aims to collect some 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic trash, is ready to take its first voyage. I don't see a photo of it here, only a floating piece of plastic. And Edsel Cook writing this article, and said the revolutionary machine is brainchild of Boyan Slat. Take a note of his name, CDG, and we also have information on him. He came up with the idea in 2012 after hearing it would take nearly 80,000 years to clean up the 1.8 trillion pieces of ocean plastic out. How do they come up with a figure for the pieces of plastic in the ocean? I'd love to know. It's massive, that's for sure. But gathering plastic trash with nets was considered futile since there was so much of the garbage spread through the water. Furthermore, the plastics are always in motion due to the action of the ocean currents. And related, EU sets 70% recycling target. I'm coming after that in a minute. The 18-year-old slat, kid, suggested working with the currents instead of against them. Setting up barriers in the water would speed up plastic collection, making it easier to pull them out of the water for recycling. Well, I've said before, the recycling nutters go nuts in terms of talking about food miles and waste miles, but they should have it in ships that can shred it and burn it on site on these ships, like kilns burning. Otherwise, they'd never get to collect it all. While experts scoffed at him, Slat, what's his name? His first name is Boyan Slat. Incredible, these people's names doing weird things. They make up the name sometimes. Experts scoffed at Slat's dropout of university and founded the Ocean Cleanup. The organization made millions to create the technology for his plastic collector. Ocean plastic collector is massive yet simple and won't endanger marine life. The Ocean Cleanup said it will come back from the North Pacific. Gyr is it at the end of 2018 when its first harvest of ocean plastic and concrete proof. This is how convoluted. Oh dear, this guy writing this. Proof that its plastic collector works. Okay, we're going to see a demo soon, presumably. The non-profit expected its first unit to be able to harvest 5,000 kilograms each month. That's pretty small. A full fleet of such systems could collect 40,000 tons of plastic trash within 5 years. Are they kidding? It's not bigger than they need 50 times that. That's half of the plastic found in the North Pacific gyre. The device is massive yet surprisingly simple. Each system will be made from large tubes of tough plastic. The tubes will float in the water and flex. Anyway, we're coming off to the top of the hour break, and we should be back in about 2 minutes.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.